Hi, I'm Kai Rizdahl, the host of Marketplace from APM. The heart, as we all know, wants what it wants. It also rarely wants the most practical thing, which is okay most of the time, because on this program we talk a lot about practical things, retirement savings and debt and mortgages, where a certain emotionlessness can be helpful. And yet, not every financial decision is practical. Take, settling down with somebody forever. Marriage is, if you think about it, one of the most important financial decisions a lot of people make. And yet, most people don't think of it that way at all. A shocking number, in fact, go ahead and get married without ever talking about money with their beloved. Marketplace's Stacey Vanek-Smith explores what happens when our heart wants something that's bad for our wallet.
So the gas, your credit card, the Xbox subscription.
Vital.
Right.
Jeanette Sturgis and her fiancé, Julian Vargas, are having their weekly household meeting. At the kitchen table every Friday, the two review their finances over a glass of wine. They started having these meetings shortly after they got engaged.
We decided that if we didn't have these meetings on kind of a regular basis,
there would be murders.
Everything kind of falls apart and we get really angry at each other. Yeah.
Between their mortgage, their student loans, and their credit cards, the two 28-year-olds in Aurora, Illinois, have more than $180,000 of debt.
I get a lot of anxiety over money. Pretty much I stay up at night sometimes thinking about our student loans and things like that. I don't know, my parents kind of argued over money a lot, so I never really wanted to do that. So this kind of helps.
Arguing over money is not unusual. It's a top reason couples divorce. What is unusual? A couple talking about money before they get married.
In our society, money is really a taboo subject, almost like sex.
Relationship expert and author, Dr. Terry Orbuck.
But I think money is even more a taboo topic. So these days, friends are talking about sex, but we rarely know how much our friends make. We don't know even how much our parents make.
Add the blinders of romance to the mix, and you've got a recipe for not talking money. Even when passionate love wears off a bit, 12 to 18 months later, according to Orbuck, people have no idea how to broach the subject of money.
So when we are now jointly financially responsible with someone else, we don't have the vocabulary to talk to this other person about money.
Susan from Washington State didn't talk about money with her fiancé. But after they married, she learned he was a closet spender who would constantly drain their bank account. When the couple was splitting up, he
racked up considerable debt in my name on wine, women, and song, and he had a better lawyer.
Susan got stuck with $30,000 of that debt, which she had to pay off while putting her kids through college.
Yeah, that's a big source of resentment, let me tell you. But in the end, it's a good lesson.
At 64, Susan's been in a relationship with a financially stable partner for 8 years. They live together, but Susan says she won't get married again.
No matter how much you love someone, it's a risk to be responsible for their financial behavior. I don't want to take that risk anymore. I don't think anybody should, frankly.
25-year-old Emily Grover wants to minimize that risk. At a popular singles bar near New York University, Grover says the way a man handles his money is very important to her.
I've learned from past relationships and just from my own upbringing that having financial stability is something that's really important to me in a relationship.
Grover says she tries to get a sense of someone's financial responsibility early on.
The beauty of online dating is that you can kind of filter out people from the get-go. So you can see if they have, a college degree, if they have a postgraduate degree. Sometimes they even list what their income is.
Since the financial crash, many daters have gotten more financially picky. Several dating sites have cropped up that cater to them by requiring people to list their credit scores. Grover hasn't gone that far yet, but she steers clear of free sites, which might attract the broke and indebted.
It sounds so unromantic and horrible to say, but I've worked hard to get where I am, and I've worked hard to not have credit card debt and to be paying off my student loans ahead of time, and that's something that I want to look for in another person.
That discomfort with factoring finances into the soulmate search is not uncommon, says family therapist Lair Torrent. He says his single clients often hesitate to bring up financial concerns about a significant other.
Our popular culture puts it out there that it should be puppy dogs and ice cream. So there's this sheepishness about bringing up the money issue. I'll have people say, well, I don't want to sound like a gold digger. They get that a lot.
Jeanette Sturgis and Julian Vargas have overcome that. They hope their weekly meetings will ease them into the financial side of married life. Vargas says tackling their debt together has made them stronger as a couple.
It gives us something to come together and attack as a team. Our debt becomes this exterior antagonist.
He was an English major. That's why he talks about exterior antagonists.
That exterior antagonist has taught Sturgis a few things, too.
I think I've learned to kind of relax a little bit more about it. Mm-hmm. I try not to obsess about
it. That's why we have a wine budget.
Yes, we do have a wine budget.
And a wedding budget. Vargas and Sturgis opted for a 2.5-year engagement so they could save for the wedding they wanted. Their attitude towards couples who don't talk about money before they get to the altar?
I guess all I can say is good luck.
Right?
I'm Stacey Vanek-Smith for Marketplace.